How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So, lost yesterday to the Rays. Couple takeaways from that. And, you know, ultimately, the Yankees are trying to put together some good performances, get everybody back in rhythm ahead of the regular season. On the 28th, it starts. And a lot is going to happen. Some reassignments down to the minor league levels. You know, I know Spencer Jones got moved. Tanner Tully yesterday was the guy that was moved down to minor league camp or AAA. And, you know, I think right now the Yankees are starting to get an idea of what their roster is going to look like, but there's a big jury out right now on Oswald Peraza, and I think it's time to have a conversation that may not be good for his future opportunities, because right now Peraza, and the nice way to say it, is he's trending in the wrong direction. He put on some muscle mass, you know, his defensive qualities are still there, he wants to be a Yankee, but he's just not getting better, and it's tough to watch, man. The opportunities haven't really been there for him at all at every single stage. They've sent him back down, send him back up. You know, it's really just been a flip-flop kind of roller coaster for him. He has one minor league option left, and once the Yankees burn that minor league option, it's going to be tough to justify keeping him around, and that minor league option may be the most valuable thing they have in terms of utilizing him as a trade piece right now. I don't think many teams probably have him as a very lucrative player at this point in time, but we'll talk about his value as a trade asset and kind of where he could go. But Ryan, what are your early thoughts, early impressions? I know the sample size is small, but spring training, his at-bats are mostly non-competitive. He's not looking very good up there. Again, it's early. Things could change. He's had a recent shoulder issue a couple days ago that he's since returned from. You know, what are you thinking about his future right now, where it kind of goes? And if the Yankees cannot trust him to be their utility man in 2024, who do you think steps in and takes that role?
Yeah, so right now, Oswald Peraza, I mean, the fact that they're looking for utility guys, the fact that they were interested in Kike Hernandez, interested in Gio Urshela, interested in Tony Kemp, I mean, it's not looking good. It's not looking like the Yankees are like, yep, this is a guy we have the utmost confidence in. This is a guy we believe full-heartedly can be a utility guy for this team. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that he earned that utility job, but I think that you and I both had this kind of assumption going into spring training that he won the job. That the job, you know, the roster's set. There's no real roster competition outside of maybe the bullpen, right? You kind of hear about the Efros injury, like, oh, okay. You hear about the, injury to Canley recently. You're like, okay, you know, bullpen guys. I never anticipated that we'd be sitting here talking about a battle for that job, for the job at, you know, the utility infielder, because it doesn't seem like it should be a battle. It doesn't seem like something that he should be in competition with other guys for, but he hasn't played well enough for it, right? I mean, I'm not saying he shouldn't be in competition for it because he's played so well that he's earned it. I'm saying there's no reason, given the leg up he kind of has over everybody else. I mean, look at the infield market. Look at the Yankees' financial situation. If they wanted to pay a guy like Kike Hernandez, they would have to give him $4 million, and that becomes $8 million towards the luxury tax, right? So they're basically saying, you know, we know that they're financially very limited right now because of that luxury tax threshold. They're over $300 million, all that stuff. It would behoove the Yankees to not spend any more money and just kind of roll with what they have, unless they're going out and making a substantial upgrade. Peraza is somebody they have such little confidence in that they're willing to make what seems like an unnecessary expense to get marginally better at best, right? It's or on the surface marginally better. They don't have faith in Peraza. I whether they're right or wrong, we'll wait and see, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you they should be playing him. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's this stud and this star and the statistical value and all that stuff. Look, a year ago, I thought he should have been the starting shortstop. And since that point in time, really since the start of spring training last year, it has been a downward spiral. I never envisioned that him losing the shortstop job would have the ramifications it has on his career, but he hasn't really rebounded from it. The AAA numbers have been solid, but not like dominant. Like a 108 WRC plus in AAA isn't going to get you a starting job at the major league level on a team trying to win the World Series unless your raw skills are remarkable, right? Like, you know, Spencer Jones could put up like a 108 WRC plus in AAA or AA, excuse me, and you're going to have hope for what he can do the year after because he hits the ball so hard, because he's so fast, because he's such a great defender, all that stuff. Peraza doesn't possess those same raw tools. Peraza doesn't possess those same, you know, physical tools, that same elite level upside. We've talked about upside before with that conversation. It doesn't necessarily exist there for him. And if he's a defense first guy, he has to be playing a position where defense is super valuable, and that's shortstop. And Alex, he's not playing shortstop on this team. Maybe occasionally, but not every day. So I mean, I hope he proves himself. Ideally, I would love for Oswald Peraza to, you know, kind of put this all behind him, get right, get healthy, get into a situation where he's putting up, you know, whatever, you know, solid offensive numbers. I'm not saying a 105 WRC plus or even a 100. Give me about a 95 WRC plus. Give me solid defense at second, short, and third, and some good base running, and you'll have an MLB career. Maybe it's not as a starting caliber player, but it is a utility one, and that'll keep costs down. But right now, I mean, Alex, the Yankees have basically said a lot without saying anything. They don't believe in him right now, and I don't know if that's going to change.
Yeah, I mean, look, so we have to ask ourselves, what is it going to take for Peraza to get to max value here? We know he has a gold glove acumen at shortstop, second base. He can play third. In a perfect world, you know, if anything would happen to Rizzo, DJ moves over to first base, Peraza slides in and fills any role that is required of filling. But, you know, the offensive identity is still very much concerning to me. He doesn't make enough great contact. He doesn't elevate the ball enough. He doesn't really just make contact at all sometimes. And it's a concern. He doesn't look comfortable and confident in the batter's box. Could that be because of the, you know, he gets injured and then he misses a couple of games? Is it because the Yankees send him back up and send him back down and he's just flip-flop and he, you know, his confidence is obviously took a hit after losing the job to Anthony Volpe last year. And now he's facing the same exact situation. And for what it's worth, Ryan, I think that we've talked about this in the past. Can you survive playing in New York? How about if you could survive playing in Tampa? You know what I mean? Right now, Peraza is not surviving playing in Tampa in front of nobody. You know, he's trying to win a job, and he's losing that job right now. If you're playing in the Bronx, and you have people booing you because you're hitting 150, and you can't get the ball in the air, you can't put runs, you know, on the board, you can't be a positive factor on a team that needs to be littered with talent this year, there is no question in my mind that Peraza is facing an uphill battle that may result in him sitting in AAA once again. And they may try to move him to a team that has a lower market vibe, a team that can give him the at-bats, maybe a team like the Athletics, like move him for a bullpen arm, like, you know, send him for a Lou Trevino type of player. I'm just throwing a name out there and a team. But, like, right now, I think that Peraza needs a low, small market team that's going to give him plenty, like a year or two worth of opportunities to find his groove, because I just don't think the pressure in New York is doing him any favors. He's losing to Anthony Volpe. He's falling out of rhythm. The pressure is too much, in my opinion. Now, that doesn't mean he can't step up and tackle these challenges and be a good player for us. But we've only seen that one small sample size of 18 games in 2022 where he looked good. Ever since then, it's been downhill every single opportunity he gets. What do you think he needs to improve offensively in detail in terms of where is it that he's struggling, right? Where is it that he needs to take steps forward? To me, a lot of his issues are mental and are a result of him not getting consistent at-bats and consistent opportunities against major league talent. I think that's where I kind of sit right now is he doesn't have confidence. He doesn't have rhythm. He doesn't have enough experience. And I also think that he doesn't have, he's not making good enough contact. Maybe he just doesn't have a good enough eye and his plate discipline isn't good enough. You know, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so, you know, number one, I think the skill set, yeah, like, he doesn't hit the ball hard enough and he doesn't make enough contact. That hasn't happened at the major league level. Like you have to do one of the two, at least at an average clip. Or, ideally, you do both, you know, at a very well clip, but that's really hard to do. I mean, even the best hitters in the game can't do that. You know, if he can be average in terms of making contact, average in terms of quality of contact, that'll work. I think the swing decisions are actually pretty good. Like, I think he does at least swing in zone when he has to, and that's important. But, again, he just, like, swing that's part of the equation. Hitting is a multi-step situation, right? You need a lot of different things to click. You can't just be very good at one thing. You know, you can't just hit the ball really hard if you don't make enough contact. And, like, look at Everson Pereira, right? Like, I would say he has two really good offensive skills. You know, it's his raw power and his ability to swing in zone when he needs to, and he doesn't chase too much. His swing decisions are really good. His power is really good. But the contact skills aren't very good. And even the launch angle isn't great. So, you know, that results in him not being a quality major league hitter. Peraza doesn't have the contact. He doesn't lift the ball enough. He doesn't hit the ball hard enough. And he doesn't make enough contact. It just isn't working right now. He kind of needs that to all click, or at least some of those things to click. But I will say this. For Oswald Peraza, for his future with the Yankees, for his future in New York, you know, this is an opportunity to take those doubts, to take the organization looking for people to replace you, looking at what happened last year where you lose that shortstop battle, looking at the situation with the Yankees, the uncertainty at third base, the uncertainty at second base, and saying, you know, I can step up and be that guy. You know, we have to also acknowledge the reality of the uncertainty in this infield. I don't know who will be playing third base for the Yankees this time next year. I don't know who will be playing second base for the Yankees this time next year. I expect Vivas to be in that conversation, but again, he is a prospect, and we have to wait and see, and I have to, you know, kind of put him, like, he is a guy who was also an unknown, right? Like, the same way Peraza was like, oh my God, he could be this really good player for the Yankees at some point. That still applies to Vivas. There's still that outcome where he's not good enough and he doesn't perform. He doesn't take the leaps we hope he can take. But in a sense, for Peraza, there is a lot of just, I don't really know with the infield. I mean, even first base, what if Rizzo's club option gets declined? There is a lot of uncertainty. This is the opportunity to take advantage of that uncertainty and make the most of a bad situation. If he does make it through spring training and he does make it to that 26-man roster and the Yankees don't sign anybody else, when you get an opportunity to play, you need to ball out, right? If you're slumping in spring training, I get, like, that's fine. I'm not gonna, you know, say because of a poor spring training, I'm not really gonna have a lot of faith in him. But it's not, I mean, his spring training is abnormally bad, and, you know, he's battling, trying to battle out for a spot. It's the spot isn't guaranteed, right? So, you know, you have to kind of adjust for that. He's on the 40-man roster, and nobody else really is. Jamai Jones is, but, I mean, if we're going to say Peraza hasn't played well, has Jamai Jones played well or played much at all? Like, there are just not a lot of guys in that 40-man roster that can play the infield. Peraza has an unbelievable leg up on everybody else in that infield job that's currently in the organization. This is the chance to take that job. This might be his final chance for that. You mentioned the minor league option, how big that is for him earlier in the episode. If he didn't have that minor league option, he might have been traded for sure. He might have been cut. I mean, I don't know what would have happened, but him having that minor league option is huge. It does mean that if somebody were to get signed, he can still be in the organization. It also means, you know, if he struggles, he can be, you know, set down in AAA, whatever it may be. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking at the current major league situation. I don't know if Omega's going to be good this year. He's going to be 36 during the season. I don't know if he's like Donaldson just woke up one day and was awful at baseball, right? Like it just happened. I mean, I remember in 2022, he had that pretty solid start to the season. I think it's like mid-May. He looks good, and it's all gone, right? Just like that. The year before, he had like a 125 OPS plus. Like that. Gone. Stanton. Look at Stanton, right? Middle of his age 33 season. First all-star nod as a New York Yankee. Huge deal. Gone. All of it. The second half crashes 2023. What the hell happened, right? It happens like that. Nobody knows when Father Time catches up with him. Nobody is exactly sure when they're going to walk away from this game. The game will tell you when you got to walk away, right? So LeMay, you have a lot of concerns there. You know, even a guy like Rizzo, you know, you got to at least be a little bit like, you know, I hope he plays well. And look, I think all the signs so far have been good, but you have to have a little bit of reservation. And then again, the long-term future of Gleyber Torres, great player, really good second baseman. Where is he going to be next year? Probably not the Yankees. I mean, even he's like, yeah, sometimes I think this might be my last year here, which is immediately like, that's very sad to hear, but it's a business. And I understand why the Yankees are like, yeah, we just need to figure out what our infield is. We'll kick that down the road. Our priority is Juan Soto right now. Alex, I'm not trying to sit here and say that Peraza, you know, everything's going to be kind of handed to him. But man, he's kind of walking into a pretty good situation for the infield. The two positions that he plays really well outside of shortstop are two of the biggest question marks on this team beyond 2024. Third base is a big question mark in and of itself. Peraza is still the backup at third base. It's not Cabrera, it's him. And another guy, look, he's going to be directly competing with Oswaldo Cabrera. No disrespect to Oswaldo Cabrera, but he is the farthest thing from a sure thing. He is a big question mark as well. This is a huge year for him. The only reason he has a guaranteed spot on this roster is because, you know, he can also play the outfield. Peraza's got a lot to prove this year, and there's a window of opportunity for him to take it. If Peraza, I know he's probably not watching this. Like, I don't imagine he's sitting down and watching Fireside Yankees at 12 o'clock in the afternoon when there's a game at 6. But if he were to hear this, if he were to listen to this, obviously this episode's been full of a lot of like, hey, he hasn't done this, this, and that, and he has to prove a lot. And those are all true. I'm never going to walk back those sentences. And Alex, I hope you never walk back that either, because this is the truth. That is the accurate situation of what's going on right now. He has not been good enough. But take that and try to steal a job. Steal a job on the Yankee organization. In an ideal world, Oswald Peraza is everything he could have been and everything we hoped he could be, because we know the Yankees don't have a future third baseman. Look at the organization. Look at the farm system. They've got a lot of great talent in the outfield. They've got a second baseman maybe in Vivas. They've got a first baseman in Bryce maybe, a couple catchers, some pitchers. But I don't see the third baseman. There's not a third. I mean, look at that third base depth chart. It's putrid. There's no one really there that's going to step up and be the guy next year. Peraza, this is your chance to be the guy next year or this year, whatever it may be. Take it. This is your one chance. I don't know if he's going to get another chance after this. You can't guarantee that. What if some guy emerges? What if they trade for somebody? I don't know what happens. So this is his chance. And if he wants to be a part of this core for a very long time, this is the window for him to grab it. I'm not going to be sitting here in 2025 talking about Oswald Peraza breakout, Oswald Peraza interesting player. This is it. This is the calendar year, Alex. After this year, it's over. The experiment's over with Peraza.
100% agree. And ultimately, like I said before, one minor league option left does not suggest he's in a good spot right now. They really only have that. Like, that's the last piece of value they have with Peraza if he doesn't pan out, to give to another team if they want to trade him. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, we're rooting for him to step up. We need him to step up, desperately hoping he can turn this around and start to put together some good offensive at-bats and build some confidence here and really instill some confidence in the coaching staff, who are probably looking at it right now saying to themselves, we cannot trust this guy to step up and be a good offensive piece for us. Maybe a fine defender, but we'd rather have an average offense, an average defensive piece, than one that's a complete liability offensively that may cause a lot of problems in the dynamic of our hitting, of our batting order. So we'll see how things progress moving forward, guys. As always, happy to hear your thoughts below in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe as always, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.